second scripture reading is from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 14 to 30. It will be found on page 28 of your pew Bibles, and I invite you again to hear the Word of God. Jesus says, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this past week, we moved into our new house. And as wonderful and fun as that has been, any of you who have moved know that it is also absolutely exhausting. The past few weeks, we have been working hard to finish things up and get packed and ready, and the last few days before the move were especially just taxing. We were working until 1 a.m. last Sunday night, 3 a.m. Monday night, moving all day Tuesday, then working until 1 a.m. that night. In the midst of all of this, I had papers due for my 2 doctoral classes from January, but I just did not have the time or the energy to focus on those, so I ended up getting extensions on them, just put them off until later. The boys were supposed to have an 8 a.m. Saturday baseball practice, but we were so tired that we completely slept through that. And then one day, I'm driving in my car, and I look down at the stickers in the corner of the windshield, and I notice that the inspection on my car was due in January. But I thought, that is the least of my concerns right now, as long as there's no policeman in here. I really don't have the time or energy to put into that. I'll take care of that later and just put it off. When I got up on Wednesday, after we had moved all that day before, and I went to start working on this sermon, I kind of sat down and looked at the computer screen and thought to myself, a sermon is the last thing that I want to do right now. And so with all of this exhaustion and having to put things off or just miss things altogether, I found it really ironic that the topic of this week's sermon is sloth. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, because sloth is a word that we don't use very much anymore unless we're talking about the animal, the sin of sloth is often associated with laziness. So either the animal comes by its name honestly, or the sin is named after the animal, but sloths are very lazy, slow-moving animals that don't do any more than they absolutely have to. So we have come to understand laziness as one of the seven deadly sins. But that's not actually how it first started out. When we started this series several weeks ago at the beginning of Lent, I told you how this list of seven deadly sins and the list of virtues that goes along with it, it's been around for over 1,500 years. It originated with this group of monks in the 3rd and 4th centuries. They were referred to as the Desert Fathers and the Desert Mothers. They sold all their possessions, they gave the money to the poor, they shunned civilization and went to live in the desert outside of Egypt, where they spent the rest of their lives living in solitude and prayer. They copied and memorized scripture. They reflected and wrote on what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And they came up with this list of seven conditions or temptations that are the root of all these other sins in our lives. But one of the things that happened to some of those monks after spending years in the desert away from civilization was that they stopped caring. They stopped caring about the world, about other people, because they had withdrawn from it all. Like, what does it matter what happens out in the world? We're not a part of that. We're here, away from it all. What do we care about that? And they stopped caring about their day-to-day tasks in the monastic community. They developed this feeling of, what's the point of any of this? What are we doing here? They began neglecting their duties and obligations to God and to the others in the community and even to themselves. They stopped taking care of themselves. They became despondent. They just gave up. The word that was used to describe this condition was the Latin word acedia, and it literally means without care. These monks, they didn't think of it as laziness, but as a state of depression that caused spiritual detachment. I mentioned last week how Dante, the 14th century poet who popularized the seven deadly sins in his epic poem Inferno, he had a ranking of these seven deadly sins from the worst, pride, to the least bad, which according to him was lust. And for Dante, sloth was right in the middle. Because these seven deadly sins are characterized, he said, by excessive love. Either excessive love for yourself with pride and greed and gluttony, or excessive love for someone else with envy and lust. Sloth, he said, is the only one characterized by an absence or insufficiency of love. It is to stop loving God, your neighbor, and even yourself. To be detached from them. Elijah was a prophet who had been very zealous for the Lord. It says that several times in the scripture reading. He has just had 450 prophets of the Canaanite god Baal killed. Had them executed. Queen Jezebel happened to be a fan of the god Baal. She worshipped Baal. So she was very angry with Elijah, wanted to kill him. Elijah runs away from her. He runs out into the wilderness where he says, I have done everything you asked me to do, God. And look where it's gotten me. They just want to kill me. It says that he sat down under a solitary tree and asked to die. He says, it's enough, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Might as well be dead like they are. Elijah has given up. He is disconnected. He is despondent. He has stopped caring. This is where we see the sin of sloth. It's not just depression. Depression is not a sin. People who are experiencing depression, it's not that they don't want to care. If they could change it, they would. It's not that they're lazy or choosing to shirk their responsibilities. Depression is a situation where you cannot help that. Sloth is a willful decision to stop caring, to give up, to neglect your duties and responsibilities. It is the choice to detach and stop loving. Jesus tells this parable of a man who's going on a long trip, and he gave all three of his servants money and told them to keep doing business for him while he was gone. The one servant took the 5 coins that were given to him, made 5 more. The second one took the 2 coins, made 2 more. The third servant took the 1 coin that was given to him, went and buried it in the ground to keep it safe. So the man comes back. The first 2 servants are rewarded. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. But the third one, when he explains what he did, the man responds by calling him wicked and lazy. The word lazy there is the Greek word oknere, which means slothful. That servant, it's not that he didn't do anything, that he was just lazy. He did something. He went and buried it. He made a choice to do that. He made a willful decision to neglect his duties and responsibilities and do nothing with what was given to him. Now, there are several different ways that you can interpret this parable, but one way holds that God has given us gifts and abilities that we are called to use in such a way that we multiply the good thing that God has given. When we do that, we share in the joy of our master. But when we fail to do that, when we make a willful decision to not utilize the gifts and abilities that God has given us, to neglect the duties and responsibilities that God calls us to, we do not get to share in the joy of our master. Not as a punishment, but just as a natural byproduct. We don't get to see those gifts multiplied and find joy in that as God does. In that third servant, we see the sin of sloth. But in the first 2, we see the virtue of diligence. If sloth comes from a Latin word that means without care, diligence comes from a Latin word that means care and attentiveness. It has to do with expressing love through attentiveness. When we are diligent about our work, we're making a choice to utilize the gifts and abilities that God has given us in ways that are careful and thoughtful and attentive, in ways that show we care. I knew that this past week was going to be very busy and exhausting before I even headed into it. I knew that at some point I was probably going to have to work on a sermon that I wasn't going to want to work on. And so a week ago Thursday, before I left the office for the day, I read through these scripture readings and the commentaries that go along with them. I printed off everything that I knew I was going to need for it, and I outlined the whole sermon. Now, normally, I don't have that kind of work done until the end of the day on Tuesday. But I knew that I had to be diligent about this if I wanted to get this done and not be up at night working when I was already tired. Diligence seeks to make the most of the time and the abilities that you have. None of us have as much as we want, but diligence does the most with what we have. Now, there's one distinction that we need to make here. We live in a culture that values hard work and productivity and doing. A person's value and worth, they're often measured by what they do and how much they can produce. And within this culture that we live in, inactivity and rest are often viewed as lazy. Sloth is a willful choice to disengage and do nothing. But so is Sabbath. God calls us to take 1 day a week to rest from our labors and do nothing, so that we can be reminded that we are not defined by our productivity, that we are not what we do. We are not the sum of the roles in our lives. There are all these stories about Jesus resting in Scripture. He's in a boat with his disciples when a storm pops up, and they're all scared they're going to die because the waves are crashing down in on them. But Jesus, he's in the back of the boat asleep. They wake him up, and they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" They're questioning whether he cares, whether he has detached from them. Or he goes off by himself to pray, but the disciples, they come and they find him and say, Jesus, what are you doing? All these people, they're looking for you because they need to be healed. Don't you care? But Jesus isn't demonstrating a lack of care when he goes off to rest and pray. He is demonstrating self-care because he's just finished doing a lot of work and he knows there's a lot of work ahead. Sabbath is not laziness or inattentiveness or lack of care. It is rest for the purpose of renewing and restoring us for the work ahead. It is self-care, attentiveness to the well-being of our bodies and our minds and our spirits, so that we can be diligent about using the gifts that God has given us to do what God calls us to do. Let's go back to Elijah real quick. When we left Elijah, he was out in the wilderness. He was sitting under a tree wanting to die. He had given up and fallen asleep. Suddenly an angel appears to him. He says, get up and eat. He looks and there's bread and water there next to him. So he eats and he falls back asleep. The angel wakes him up a second time. Says, get up and eat. Otherwise the journey will be too much for you. What journey? We haven't heard anything about a journey up to this point, but it says he gets up, he eats, and it says that on the strength of that food, he walks 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, where God appears to him and sends him back to the world that he had given up on and left to do the work that God is calling him to do. God turns his sloth into Sabbath. His resignation into rest and renewal. God uses that. There are times when life can feel overwhelming and it can all just seem like way too much. But in those times, we need to stop, take a break, and rest before we can keep going. God not only allows us to do that, God commands us to do that. Sabbath is a diligent rest. It's not about giving up. It's about resting so that we do not give up, so that we don't get to that point. It's not about not caring. We need Sabbath because we care, and we need to be renewed so that we can go on showing our care for God and for our neighbors and for ourselves. Sabbath is not lack of care. It is self-care. And a lot of times we don't feel like we can do that. We feel like I have so much going on, there's so much to do that I can't afford to take a break and rest, because if I don't do this, nobody else is going to, and it's not going to get done. There's a saying that comes out of the Christian mystic tradition. It goes like this. Everything matters and nothing matters. Everything matters and nothing matters. Everything matters because every aspect of life deserves our attention and love and best effort. The things of this world and of this life are important. There is an urgency there. And we're called to be engaged with them. But at the same time, nothing matters. The things of this world and this life, they are temporary and fleeting. And we are called to be mindful of this bigger picture of existence and the kingdom of God, not to get so bogged down by the details and drama that we think that is all that matters. Everything matters, and nothing matters. You don't have to pick one of those. They can both be true at the same time. It's a paradox that we are called to hold in tension. Because in that tension is where we find the diligent rest of Sabbath that allows us to be renewed and restored so that we can be engaged with the world and use the gifts that God has given us in ways that show attentiveness and care. Everything matters, and nothing matters. So let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would help us not to know the difference between what matters and what doesn't matter, but to hold that tension, to live there with you, to let everything matter while at the same time being able to let it all go, because we see something so much greater than all of this in you. It is so easy for us to get bogged down and tired and caught up in the busyness and the drama. You call us to something so much greater. You call us to be diligent about using the gifts you've given us. You also call us to a diligent rest. May your Spirit guide us so that we can know the appropriate time for each one of those. We can know when we need to pull back and rest. We can know when we need to work hard and plan ahead. Because in all of that, you are honored and glorified. May we live our lives that way, knowing that everything matters and that nothing matters. Being diligent, but also being diligent about our rest. Because in that tension is where we live life with you. That is where we want to live. That is where we find wholeness and peace, and where we enter into the joy of our Lord. May it be so, we pray in Jesus' name.